here on the Heart of the East End. Very excited to welcome back onto the program two Hofstra students who have been filing stories for us from the Democratic National Convention, Kenny Foreman and Cameron Bowden. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Gianna.
Good morning, Gianna.
I am so excited to hear from you guys. I have had later nights than usual this week. I am very, very excited to hear, especially after last night's historic speech, what you both took away from this convention. Cameron, do you want to start just by talking about how it felt being there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the sense of excitement within the convention center and really throughout the entirety of Chicago was just so palpable. Like, you could totally feel it no matter where you were. And it was also kind of tinged with a little bit of tension because there were a lot of protests surrounding the convention, surrounding the Democratic platform. But overall, the convention was super, super exciting. There were so many people, and you could genuinely feel how excited everyone was for this ticket.
You know, I guess that sort of hands things off to Kenny for a second, because, you know, when I'm thinking about the convention and leading up to it, I think of there was a fundraiser in Harlem that was disrupted by protesters. So I was very keyed into that moment in Harris's speech when she referenced the conflict in Gaza. And I know you were as well. Kenny, do you want to talk about this idea and this topic?
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, the whole conflict in Gaza, you know, so many people, you know, have their different opinions on it. And it's just interesting to see, you know, throughout the course of this week, you know, there were so many protests, you know, pro-Palestine protests. And, you know, what we were able to hear from people is that, you know, a lot of people were upset that they had not had a pro-Palestinian speaker at the DNC. And then, of course, you know, just people wanting their voices to be heard, because, like I said, it's an interesting subject that some of these politicians, they don't always address. And so I thought it was really interesting that Vice President Harris, we heard her, you know, address the issue during her speech. And not only did she just address it, but she was able to say things in regards to both sides, and that just seemed to unite the entire crowd, and you could just really feel the energy for her just overall.
Were you nearby any of the protesters and the folks from the Gaza side of the conflict when she was talking about this? Did they seem satiated, excited? You know, I don't know where you guys were, or you know, if you were close.
Well, we weren't in last night. We weren't really, you know, close to her to hear her speech. We were kind of sitting all the way up in the top level. Mm-hmm. But I will say that as soon as she gave that speech, you know, just all the people around me, you know, they just got up and just started cheering, and it just, the energy from them definitely increased. I will say that walking out of the convention, there were still, you know, we walked past a protest, a pro-Palestinian protest. So there's still people, there's still groups that want more immediate work to be done. But I would say that inside the United Center, you know, a lot of people are feeling really good about Harris.
You know, and you noted, you talked about Tim Walz's appearance the night before. I didn't get to see Tim Walz's speech, so I wanted to give you just a moment to talk about it.
You know, I just felt like the night before last night was just pretty incredible, you know, for the party overall. I was telling Cameron, I mean, when you talk about the amount of speakers they had, even the amount of celebrities they had, it's like they it's like they brought out the Avengers. I mean, you had all these notable people that just really, you know, it got the crowd fired up. And the thing that really stuck out to me the most was that they were not only talking about their excitement for Kamala Harris or their thoughts about Joe Biden, but this was really a chance for them to introduce the country to Tim Walz for those who might not know him. And then, of course, Tim Walz had his speech towards the end that, you know, that again really got everyone energized. And I think the reason I believe that, you know, from Kamala Harris's point of view, I think she did a good job in choosing him as her pick, in the sense because it may be difficult for some people to relate to a politician, to a governor, but I think it's a lot easier for people to relate to a public school teacher, a football coach, you know, somebody that, you know, just goes about their daily life and wants to help and care about people. And I think just they did a really good job. I mean, obviously last night was amazing, but I thought the party did a really good job the night before in being able to tell the country about Tim Walz.
And you talk about relatability, and you look at, you know, his or lack of stock holdings, his financial position, and you can see how he could be incredibly relatable to people in this economic moment. You've got two pieces here from your reporting at the DNC. Which one of these should I play, Kenny? Chuck Gardner or Michael Churchill? Which piece would you like to talk about?
I would like to talk about Michael Churchill. He was, you know, he was a young man that I was able to find coming out of the convention, and I got to talk to him for, you know, a few minutes. And the thing that really stuck out to me was that he feels more confident, you know, about this country because he's someone that he does not want to live under a government that we see in a number of other countries.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Michael Churchill and Kenny Forman's interview of Michael at the Democratic National Convention this week.
I would have to say the one thing that stuck out to me was when they talked about democracy. As a young person, my biggest fear is that our country, our base of the country, our foundation will go away, and I will be living in a place like Russia or North Korea or whatever. So it's a fear that we turn into a autocracy and a dictatorship. That's my biggest fear, you know. All my other issues I could put aside almost if I had to, just to protect that one issue.
You know, it's interesting to hear young people that have this fear of democracy itself, the underpinning of it weakening as we lead into this election, and certainly from the last election cycle as well. Cameron, is this something that you noticed as well? Did either of you see Maxwell Frost's speech?
We were unable to see Maxwell
Okay.
Frost's speech, but I did note that going through dictatorship and the nerves surrounding that by a lot of Democratic politicians who were on the stage, a lot of the autocracy discussion surrounded Project 2025, right? So on a Wednesday evening, you had Kenan Thompson come out with a huge a book, and I referenced this in a piece that we published with WLIWFM, but he came out with this oversized prop book that had Project 2025, you know, the conservative mandate for leadership on the front. And essentially, you know, he welcomed on a guest, you know, five guests of different backgrounds, different, you know, who have different, you know, politics or different identities that relate to things that were involved in this. So for one example, he welcomed on, you know, a woman who has, who's married to another woman, right? And mentioned how, you know, the Project 2025 is taking away the right for, or urges for people to take away the right for gay marriage, right?
Right.
And then he welcomed on an OBGYN doctor and mentioned how doctors, OBGYN doctors in specific, should be targeted if they provide abortion care, reproductive care. So it really surrounded this Project 2025 discussion that you could see a lot of speakers bring up the authoritarian
Right.
nature of the, you know, the project itself. And that was a really big thing that was harped on throughout Wednesday night. Obviously, the theme was, you know, our freedoms, right, and fighting for our freedoms. So it makes sense that they reference this. But yeah, it does seem like authoritarianism and autocracy is something that is genuinely a fear by a lot of people in the Democratic Party.
Right. And, you know, I was mentioning this in Behind the Headlines. There is a lot of talk about when you look at former President Trump and how he approaches topics, there's certainly a lot of projection, and the things he says often can be looked at through what he's doing. So it's interesting when you hear Trump talking about Biden stepping aside as being a sort of coup when you look at sort of the hijacking of the Republican Party by him. And, you know, and you look at things like January 6th, other elements like that. When we talk about the convention, Cameron, what were some of your other takeaways from the trip? What were some of the things that you noticed or that you heard in talking with people and listening to those at the convention? And let me know which of these wave files you'd like me to play of your reporting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're going to go with Jane Brodsky here. Jane is a Los Angeles personal stylist. And I spoke to her last night as she was walking out of the convention, and she explicitly mentioned how she was happy with the ticket that we now have, but did in fact, you know, miss Joe Biden and was sad that Joe Biden wouldn't be able to continue another term. And that is something that I noticed with a couple other people that I spoke to.
Hold on. We'll be right back.
I'm very happy with the situation right now, but I think that he's a wonderful, wonderful president. And I'm a little bit sad that he isn't able to take a second term. That being said, we got to win.
Certainly bittersweet and historic, his stepping aside. And when you look at the numbers and how close this race is, I'd have to say it was probably the right move to step aside. I really enjoy the quote talking about somebody who sacrifices their career for the sake of country. And I'm glad, Cameron, that you brought up those who are feeling that this is a bittersweet moment. Although the energy that came out of the convention, I think of the speeches by Michelle and Barack Obama, as well as Kamala herself, definitely brought me back to the election where we saw President Barack Obama and the first black man in the White House, and how we may see a woman of color in the White House and just what that would mean historically for this nation. Cameron, what else haven't we talked about that you want to make sure folks hear that they may not have known from your time in Chicago?
I mean, I wanted to say that of course last night's speech was the most anticipated of the week, and I would argue it was the top, right? The best speech of the week. But like Kenny mentioned, I agree that I think Wednesday they pulled out all the stops when it came to the celebrity endorsements and stuff. But specifically from Kamala Harris' speech, the thing that I pulled away was her background, right? Her history growing up. I come from a white family that does not have very much history with immigration. It goes years and years and generations back. So when it comes to talking about immigration, it's something that I'm not as informed about, and I'm very interested to hear when people share their, you know, stories. So when I was hearing Kamala Harris speak about her mother and how her mother and father met, and as a result, how that changed the course of history, rather than her mother going back to India for an arranged marriage, as she mentioned, she proceeded to go forward and you know, engage and marry her, you know, her husband at the time, or her husband, who was obviously a black man. And this sense of just, you know, real American story from her, right? The real American immigrant story, excuse me, is just something that was so touching, especially to someone who doesn't have a intimate understanding of that experience. So I think it's something that will definitely, probably doesn't just affect me, but it's probably going to, you know, impact a lot of people who also don't have that much history with immigration and who also don't have that many experiences speaking, you know, with immigrants and hearing from immigrants, because this is a momentous occasion. I mean, this is truly such a historic nomination, and that's something that, you know, some people expressed when they were talking with me last night. It really meant that, you know, it shows that women, and women of color at that, are able to do anything, right? And Hillary Clinton kind of started to break the ceiling when she became the first woman nomination, and now Kamala Harris has gone even further by being the first woman POC nominee, excuse me.
Cameron Bowden and Kenny Forman, thank you so much for your reporting, as well as Professor Dwali Saikautau and all of the journalists at Lawrence Herbert School of Communication at Hofstra. I'm Gianna Volpe. This is Jean Casey, and you, whoever you are out there, you are awesome, and you're listening to Long Island's only local NPR radio station, WLIWFM, standing by and encouraging all, no matter which way you vote, to vote ahead of this election. We'll be back.